Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. That's Natasha Richardson singing the lead role of Sally Bowles in the musical Cabaret. The University of South Dakota's theater department brings Cabaret to the stage, opening on April 12th. We'll talk with that show's director later in the hour. But first, let's get back to my conversation with award-winning Broadway choreographer Chet Walker.
What's your favorite? I mean, do you prefer to do a project where it's, you know, where you're looking at a text like that with all that rich historical context, and you know, juxtapose that with sitting in a blank room, you know, working on like something entirely new? They both give you something different. What do you prefer?
Oh, I don't have a preference. I always think that something that's been already created, there's always something to go look for. Mm-hmm. And when creation, and that's what I'm doing at this particular moment, as I look at new projects and as I look at new work, I will always reference the success of stories that have happened before. What are the elements of success, and then knowing where that is in the period of time of an audience, you know, that always changes as well. But I don't think that I love new work, and I love looking at pieces that have been done before. So I don't think I have a preference, but I think that I attack them both the same, is to find out as much information as possible, and in creating, making sure that I have enough of the historical value in those new pieces that I'm working on.
You mentioned Mr. Fosse, and I think most listeners immediately know you're talking about Bob Fosse. They have some sort of reference for him as a choreographer. What does that kind of persona do for choreography in the theater? Does it just raise the standard, so much, or keep people realizing that there is a choreographer behind this? Talk a little bit about Bob Fosse and what he's done.
Yeah, Mr. Fosse was more a director choreographer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he held the reins on both things. So in his storytelling, he had not only the director's job, but the choreographer's job. His choreography is synonymous with Cabaret in that he was the choreographer and director of of Cabaret and won an Academy Award for that as director. His stamp of style is kind of synonymous with Cabaret, but he was not the choreographer for the original Cabaret. That was Ron Field, and then subsequently it was Robbie Marshall who did the Sam Mendes version, and then in the 1986 version it was Ron Field's choreography done by Bonnie Walker, recreated by Bonnie Walker. It sometimes people think of Cabaret as just Bob Fosse, but the stage version wasn't Bob Fosse. Okay. But I think that movie has impacted people, and I think Mr. Fosse's way of working with actors and dancers and his ability to tell story by choreography. I mean, I can't say that anything that I do does not have some sort of reference to Mr. Fosse, because in my opinion, he was brilliant at being able to be a director and a choreographer and bring all of that together so it's seamless. Mm-hmm. And I just think he was one of those rare director choreographers that did both of those jobs extremely well. And maybe people know of Cabaret and know of that style that was Bob Fosse. When I think you come to see the version that we are doing at the university here in South Dakota, there is a tip to the hat of Mr. Fosse in it. And I hope that I've tipped it well enough that you get a sense of the genius of that man. But I mean, the choreography is all new, and it is all for these young people. So Mr. Fosse was a huge influence on my life, as was Michael Bennett, Jerome Robbins, and of course Jack Cole. But in when you say cabaret, his name comes right up there.
Right. Your Broadway performing career began at 16. Do I have that?
Correct.
Yeah. And you're dancing at that point. Tell me how that sort of began for you at such a young age, and what you learned in the very beginning.
Well, I started dancing when I was 5 because my mother was a dancer, and my mother and her dance teacher wanted me to be a ballet dancer. And I guess I was good, but that's not really what I wanted to do. I didn't understand a company life, but I, at 16, knew I didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Saw an ad in the trade papers that they were doing on the town, which I knew was a ballet called Fancy Free, choreographed by Jerome Robbins, who was a ballet choreographer as well. And I went to the audition, to the non-union audition, and, went through all of that, and then ended up being called back and ended up getting the show. I had no idea what I had gotten myself into. I was told back in 2010 by Michael Riedel, did you know that you were the youngest kid on Broadway for 4 years? And I went, no. I had no idea. I just kept going. I mean, that show closed on the town closed. There ended up being auditions, and then I would get into another show. It was probably by my third show, which was the revival of Pajama Game, which is another Bob Fosse, Jerome Robbins musical on Broadway, did I really understand that this was a profession, not just not going to college, that I understood then at the rare age of 19, mm-hmm. Going on to 20, that this could be the rest of my life. And then took it very seriously, and then would work very hard in television and film and on Broadway until Mr. Fosse's passing. And the moment that Mr. Fosse passed away, we were doing Sweet Charity in Washington, D.C. It then became interesting to the rest of the world to do a lot of Bob Fosse's musicals. And then I learned about setting his work, setting his direction, doing all of these shows, and then found that I guess I really do like choreography and I do like direction. And then I realized, well, I also like creation and writing. So I will say the sadness of Mr. Fosse's passing was a hard one to take, but because of it, it opened up many more doors that I probably would never have had. I can say that honestly. And that it had changed, working with him and for him for all those many years had changed my life. But his passing then started a new chapter, and which is where I am at this point now, creating, directing, and choreographing all over the world, not only Mr. Fosse's work, but other work and new work. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. When you approach new work, and I'm compelled by this, you're alone in a room kind of moment, or you're alone in your own head or whatever that is. What are you thinking at that point? Are you thinking? Or are you moving? Like how does an artist like you approach the creative process?
It depends on the work. A lot of times it's me in a room with lots of paper. The script and or music. And then sometimes I am compelled to get up compelled to get up and see what this movement's going to be. Always, though, being very aware of all the choreography that I do on new pieces need to help and support the story. Yeah. I don't like doing choreography for choreography's sake. In the musical theater, that which is choreography is a tool which then helps promote and push forward either character development or the plot of the show.
Okay.
Depending on what that is, on what is in front of me, there are many different roads to go by. And for me, if I can see it in color, I know I'm on the right track. If I see it in black and white, I know I need to go back to the drawing board.
All right. So I kind of get intuitively how choreography can help develop character. I'm less clear about how it can help tell the story without being overly literal. Can you give me some, can you help me, you know, sort of think about that in a new way?
Well, in the days gone by, we had in great musicals, The Pajama Game, South Pacific, My Fair Lady, Carousel, Oklahoma. There were what was called dream ballets. And in those dream ballets, they would show you the physicality of the emotion of a character or what made this character tick. When you look at Oklahoma, there is a ballet that is done with Judd and Julie, and you get right away the danger that this man holds, and you also understand why. And so in dance, dance can help us where if we were to talk about it, we'd take up a lot of time. And in a 3-minute ballet, you can establish a character. Now, how does that do that in progressing plot? If we buy into that dance is an emotion first, then we can move us and show how characters move and relate to each other, move the conflict or forward, move a romance forward, pose a problem that then after the end of that dance will then be solved by the next scene that happens. Dance has always been in American musicals as this tool that bridges things, bridges us and moves us forward. There is a rule that if you've sung about it, don't talk about it afterwards. If you've talked about it, don't sing about it. We already have it. One of the cool things about dance is that we can take emotion, dance about that, show it, show the love, or show the angst, or show the complexity. That can all be shown by dance, and it is amazing how that can happen. Mm. You have to actually be in the room and watch that happen, and you go, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard to talk about dance as being an element, it's so much easier to go, watch, let me show you. For example, I'm doing a show about Rudolph Valentino.
Okay.
And my creators say, this is the storyline that we have. We would love to see that in dance and not have to talk about it. Mm. And it's like, oh, okay. So my job is to create that story and movement and not needing the word or not needing the lyric to do that. And I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying once you see it, you go, ah, okay, got it.
Yeah. I understand more than I did before. That's exactly what thank you.
It's magical. I have to say that. It is magical. Dance is you know, you see movement of people, indigenous people, and you may not understand what they're saying, but you look at it and you go, something's going on.
Right.
Something important is going on, and then you're then peaked to find out what that is. So that to me is what dance can do.
So as an audience, to become a better audience you know, member, to, you know, get more out of the experience or whatever, is it about really, you know, sitting with that moment of saying this, something interesting is going on, and then just wait, you know, sitting with that and watching it unfold? Is there a way to be a better audience member when you're in the theater?
I mean, that's a hard one. You know, I mean, a better audience, that they showed up, that's their first,
right?
What they need to do.
True.
And I think, you know, there's always a lot of hype on certain shows, and you go, as an audience, that must be really hard because people talk about certain things. It makes it hard for you then to go into the audience and be open without hearing that. I think to be a great audience is to come in, be open, let what you see on stage inspire you, provoke you. You know, some of the greatest work is to not be so happy when you walk out at intermission, mm-hmm. is to be provoked and to make conversation and to disagree. You know, theater isn't about making you happy all the time. Theater can be about be careful what you agree with. Be careful that all things are not as they appear. Good theater is to provoke us and to make us think. So to be a good audience is, I think, to just be open and to realize that not all musicals have happy endings. Not all musicals have really sweet people. Not all plays are dramatic at the end. Sometimes plays make you walk out and go, well, where do I fit in all of that? What do I really think about all of that? Because I think good theater is about making us think and look at ourselves and look at our situation and be good with that. Be okay. Now, if you walk out happy, that's great too. But I think good theater makes you think and provokes you into a conversation with your friends and with other people.